Welcome to the podcast of this Brecan information session. Information sessions are recorded at the Brecan Resource Centre and can be borrowed in CD format from the Resource Library. Sessions are copyrighted and are for personal home use only. If you would like to know more about this and other sessions, please contact Brecan on 1300 781 500. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Welcome to Volume 91 in the Brecan What's On Information Sessions, a series of talks produced for people with gynaecological or breast cancer, their families and friends. This session was recorded on the 14th of August 2013 at the Brecan Resource Centre, located in Melbourne CBD. Judy Sammet is our Feel Good Exercise Leader who has conducted the YWCA On-Call program for 17 years and is a qualified fitness instructor. In this session, she talks about the importance of regular exercise and the benefits of various exercise modalities appropriate for you. We hope you enjoy this session.
All right, welcome everybody here. It's really great to see you. And breast cancer and exercise. Well, exercise, usually when somebody mentions the word like me, when mentions the word exercise, I clear a room because people don't want to know about having to exercise. But it really is important. I was going to sort of zip through this until I discovered that they're going to record it. So I need to verbalise a lot more than I intended to verbalise because I have got a funny throat and I keep losing my voice. So I will continue and I will press on. And what I'm saying to you is the importance of should I exercise after breast cancer? And the answer is, of course, you should exercise after breast cancer. So we'll go through all of that today, and it's all about, you know, what can you do? And I know you're probably all going, but you know, it all feels, everything hurts, it's still sore, and I can't, you know, I can't lift my arm and all that sort of thing. Well, it's all about having to, all about learning what's appropriate for you to do. So, you just bear with me, won't you? That this is going to do what it's supposed to do. All right. So should we exercise? Now, I was going to just get you to read this, but because I now know that it's going to be recorded, I should really read this out so that it's for the recording purposes. If someone offered you a drug that could help you prevent five major health concerns, including cardiovascular disease, cancer and diabetes, wouldn't you rush to take it? Yes. Yes, did we all say? Yes. If you were told that the same drug could keep your weight down, reduce the need for antidepressants, boost your self-confidence and reduce your chance of getting osteoporosis, wouldn't you be emptying your pockets to order and stock up supplies? Yes, of course. Well, such a thing, a drug is available. It's called exercise. Okay. Okay, so the answer is a definite yes. And recent research has proven the importance of exercise for just about all illnesses. I'm sure you hear it time and time again about the importance of exercise. And it's so, and it is exactly the same reason why we as with breast cancer survivors and women need to be that are going through chemo and radiotherapy should also be doing exercise. And there's a very, very good reason why we should, because it reduces the risk of recurrence. Recent research has been done that does prove that so it's a darn good reason, isn't it, for reducing the risk of recurrence. I've seen different percentages quoted. One was a 50% reduction. Of more recent times, I've seen 35% reduction. Whatever reduction it is in recurrence, we want to do it, don't we? Yes, exactly. And also a low-fat diet reduces a recurrence by 30%. So that's not necessarily exercise, but it's just talking to you about the general holistic thing of watching your diet as well as doing the exercise. Okay. So one thing we shouldn't do is do nothing. And why? Because we've had a damaged lymphatic system. If everybody's had axilla clearance, you've all had axilla clearance. Pretty much everyone does, yeah? So it means your lymphatic system is compromised. It means that your lymphatic system isn't working as well. Do you know, have any of you been to the lymphatic or lymphedema talks? Have you all been to the lymphedema talks? So you don't know a lot about your lymphatic system. Well, the lymphatic system needs exercise because it becomes very sluggish. Especially if we've got a compromised lymphatic system. Your lymphatic system becomes sluggish and lymph fluid needs to be encouraged to move. And exercise to move it is what we need, as well as a good as well as the fact that it boosts your immune system and improves your general health. Now, the lymphatic system has more fluid flowing through it than the blood circulatory system, twice as much fluid. Now, your blood circulatory system flows at roughly 72 beats a minute. You know, that's a sort of an average beat for the heart, 72 beats a minute. The lymphatic system only flows at about 6 to 7. And it doesn't quite flow the same way as a blood circulatory system, and I'm not going to go into all the details about lymphedema and the lymphatic system today because it gets to be quite lengthy. It's a good idea to come and see one of the presentations for lymphedema, and then you'll get a broader outlook. But just to give you an idea, that there are lymphatic vessels underneath our arms. Because I'm stroking my arm, I'm saying underneath my arm, under the skin. But our whole body consists of a huge lymphatic system, and in order for it to pump the fluid through our bodies, you need to be contracting and relaxing muscles. So that's exactly what exercise does. It contracts and relaxes muscles. So whenever you're doing any, even things like this, you know, just gentle movements of rolling your wrists, rolling your hands, rotating your wrists, arms up and down, it's getting and pumping slowly with your hands like this helps to move your lymphatic system. That's up from your upper body, but also the rest of your body. But it gets a bit complicated for me to be going through right at this minute. So when we've got lymph nodes, have you heard about lymph nodes? You know about lymph nodes? You've had lymph nodes removed from under your armpit. So we've got about 600 lymph nodes in our body. You probably didn't even realise that. There's lymph nodes up in the neck, in the shoulders, in the neck, all throughout your body, behind the sternum, everywhere. Okay, and these roughly 600 lymph nodes range in size from the size of a pinhead to a kidney bean. So the lymph flows up to those, into those lymph nodes, and clears your body of all the bacteria and toxins, etc., etc., and then continues on through your body. So whenever you get things like I've just had a cold, my lymphatic system has been put under a bit of stress because all the bacteria has been kicking in. So when you pick up something, it's because your lymphatic system isn't functioning as well. It needs to be prompted. So when you've got the lymphatic fluid coming up into where you did have lymph nodes in your armpit, but you no longer have them there, they get to a brick wall and go, oh, whoops, what do I do now? I haven't got any lymph nodes up in here. So the rest of your lymphatic system can be a bit compromised, and you need exercise in order to help keep that in a healthy state. Yeah, is that making sense to you? Yeah. And the lymphatic vessels pump at about 6 to 7 beats a minute. Did I say that? Slowly. Yeah. So therefore, you don't have to do high impact aerobics. Oh, did you say? We always wanted to do that. Yes. Of course we want to do high-impact aerobics. Well, guess what? You don't have to run marathons either. Okay. So, next slide talks about... Oh, I've done that. I've done all that, haven't I? Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm reducing the risk of lymphedema. Exactly. Okay. I need to be sort of there so I can see what I've got. Excuses. Can we all come up with a few excuses? Yeah, I know. I don't have the energy to exercise. And I can understand when you're newly diagnosed, you've gone through the chemo, you've had the surgery, the chemotherapy and the radiotherapy, and you're fatigued. Absolutely, totally and utterly fatigued, right? You don't want to get up out of bed even. And as for getting up and doing what amounts to any sort of exercise is just not possible. But it's important to just go for a walk. So have you all looked at going for a walk since you've had breast cancer? Yeah? Yeah, so you're all at least doing something like that? Good. That's one of the easiest things you can do. So, but I mind you, I do have women because of the various other programs I run, and they go, oh, but I can't go for a walk because it's too hot, it's too wet, it's too cold, it's too windy, the dog down the street barks at me, you know, the surface is uneven, and I don't like walking around my neighbourhood, and... You know, well, you know, get in the car, go for a drive to somewhere you feel comfortable or safe, and go for a walk in the gardens in somewhere or another, you know? Yeah, there's a lot of choices. Anyway, so we're all good at coming up with excuses. And I don't have the time to exercise. Well, I tell you, if you start exercising, your body will work far in a far better state because you're actually getting to act, and you'll find you'll have more time. By getting more energised through exercising, you'll have more time to do the things that you need to be doing. You really will, because you start feeling so much better and you're out there. Yeah, don't you? I'm sure you're going to be... Even if you're not in that state right this minute, you do recall that state, don't you? Yes, we all can do it. And I don't have the proper equipment to exercise. Well, a darn good pair of walking shoes is the best thing to start with. So, and you're all telling me that you're going out and walking. There are a whole variety of exercise programs that are out there that I'll talk to you about. So we don't have the proper equipment. I don't like to exercise. Well, guess what? You find there are so many choices for exercise out there. You will find something that you enjoy doing. I am, as Kelly said, I'm a gym instructor, but I don't like working in a gym because it's usually this sort of one-on-one PT thing, you know? And we sort of deliver and say, well, here, I've created a program for you. You're going to do that for the next 4 weeks. Just come as often as you like to the gym and we'll see you then. And you go in there and you're on your own and you're doing these exercises. And it's so boring, isn't it? Absolutely and utterly boring. So, I mean, it's boring for me to even think about it. I don't even think about doing it. So what I do is the programs that I am involved with are all groups. I run with groups because, strength training programs, CODA programs, you know, gentle exercise programs. It's with group because it's so much more fun and it's much more sociable. And I also means that I can watch what you're doing and making sure that you're doing the techniques correctly. Whereas if you're in a gym on your own, and I tell you, they don't walk around. I don't know whether you've been to gym, but they don't have... I used to have somebody on the floor walking around and saying, oh, you know, Asmina, you know, perhaps you should be turning around that way, or don't lift so hard that way, or whatever. They don't have anybody doing that these days. And it's terrifying because I know so many people who do exercises without the right technique, and they can do themselves more damage. So if you go to a group program, COTA, and there are others I'll mention a bit later, you don't like to exercise, as I said, it's boring, it's too hard. Guess what? You don't have to do anything that's too hard, right? As long as you are moving and keeping active, it's one of the main things. It doesn't, as I said, it doesn't have to be high impact anything, and it doesn't have to be running marathons. So you don't have to exercise hard and fast. Appropriate management and manageable light exercise will lessen your fatigue and provide you with more energy. And a good pair of walking shoes, as I said, is the first place to start, and choose an activity you enjoy and exercise with a group. I said all that and I didn't have the slide up. Can you see I'm not really as good at all this as I could be? What have I done? Oh, that's what I had, didn't I? Okay, one more. So how do I exercise? What's appropriate for me to do? Is there anything I shouldn't do? And how will I feel? Do I feel better than the way I am at the moment? Well, it's particular types of exercise. And there's the variety of exercise programs are gentle exercise or stretch programs. If you go to your council, go through the council or with your community health services or your community houses, you'll find that there's a variety. Every area's got a different set of exercise programs. But have a look through those avenues and you'll find something that will be along those lines. Tai Chi, yoga and Pilates. Be a bit cautious with Pilates. Don't go to, because I know there's a couple of gyms and they're running what they call a Pilates program, you know, and there's about 50 of participants and they're all doing Pilates. No, it doesn't work. It's no, you need to, if you've never done Pilates, you really need to do it with a physio who is running Pilates classes, and only a few in the program. Because they need to be able to keep an eye on what your technique is and what you're doing and making sure that you're doing it correctly. Because in a big group, it's just not possible. I nearly fainted when I saw exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, also when you're in a big group, and I mean, I know because I've delivered to big groups, and I know what happens. They, you know, if I sort of say, well, stretch like this, well, of course, they're going, well, everybody else can do that, and I can only go to here. I better try and do it harder. And, you know.
That's exactly what I
mean. Exactly. Yep, precisely. So I know what happens, and I see all that occurring, and I know with us, with breast cancer, because it's 20 years since I had mine, and exercise has been part of me from just after I was, well, within the first year or so. I had not been involved as an exercise instructor or fitness instructor at all prior to that, but one of my sons was doing phys ed at uni, and I knew that in order, because I couldn't get my arms above my shoulders, I could only brush my teeth and I could only do my hair like this, and I used to sleep with my arms above my head, and I thought, I'll never ever be able to do that again. I've got to do something in order to get my movement and flexibility back. So I had chats with my son, and I sort of started working something else, and we also went and I saw the surgeon, and we just figured out, you know, what was appropriate to do, and so I did. So now I have absolutely, you know, all the flexibilities back. But you've got to work at it slowly. It took me forever. I mean, as for trying to get my arm up, you know, past there, it was impossible. But, you know, now I have absolutely no trouble at all. But it's working at it slowly and getting a slow stretch. So that's why if you have got limitations through your movements in your arms, you do it slowly. You don't have someone go, oh, lift that up my head. Whiz that arm over my head. Oh, no, thank you. Can't do that. And aquarobics has got to be one of the best things you can do. Absolutely fantastic. Because with aquarobics, the hydrostatic pressure of the water is working your lymphatic system from the outside in, because the lymphatic vessels are just sitting under the skin, the top layer of your skin. So with all that movement through the water, just doing that through the water, even if you're not a swimmer, you don't have to be a swimmer, but just doing this through is actually working those lymphatic vessels, and walking through the water, doing high knee lifts, because anything you're doing with high knee lifts is clearing your lymphatic nodes through here. So aquarobics is fantastic. Now, even if it's a fast, high-impacty session, you don't really have to work at that pace. And in actual fact, a lot of the aquarobics instructors are up there going, and do this, and then do that, and do something. Well, when you're in the water, I tell you, you can't do it that fast. You just can't. It's just not possible. So you work at your own pace. But there's a lot of... Well, no, there might be one or two that would fit into what they call the over 50s categories, you know. So, and also there's, if anyone's got arthritis of any description, there's the Arthritis Foundation run aqua programs as well. So, you know, if you've got arthritis, you can go into their programs, and that's double whammy, isn't it, really? But other than that, the aquarobics classes that they run at various gyms and things are really, really good to do. Really excellent. Oh, where did you do that? It is, isn't it? Yeah, I know. I've been totally passionate about the Encore program for, let's just say, 18 years, 17, 18 years. And yes, it is. It's a very, very valuable program. And it does. It gives you a whole sense of well-being. Apart from the well-being, it's the body image. It's the whole thing of feeling like you've got a new normal out there, a new body. Yes, it is. It really is. So I don't know whether anyone else has heard about the Encore program. Do you know about the Encore program? It's a land and pool. I was just going to tell you about the land and pool exercise program. It runs for 8 weeks in various suburban areas. And there'll be one running in Greensboro in October and one in... It's up on the wall. Yeah, it's up on the wall, Glen Waverley. Yeah. I'm just thinking, Marcel's doing another one at Glen Waverley. And that'll be in October, and there may well be one at Ascot Vale too.
You don't do
one at Kew? No, the nearest I've got to Kew is Greensboro. Yes, I know it's a bit of a hike, but it's... Yeah, the thing is, it's a funded program. It used to be funded by a corporation for it to be it's a national program. It's not just local. But they dropped out, and so now we have to do our own funding in the various states. Two states have actually got government funding, but we haven't. And so we have a fundraiser of a luncheon, and we raise money in order to provide the Encore program. But if anyone gets can think about joining the Encore program, you'll find it's very valuable. As I said, it's 8 weeks and it's land and pool. It's 2 hours per week for the 8 weeks. We only run 8 week blocks because We want to have as many women as possible, newly diagnosed women as possible, take advantage of the program. If we have it as a running program, then we're only ever going to have the same numbers sort of turning up each week. And, you know, and it's also, it's a free program. Well, it's $2, a gold coin donation, rather, per week. So it's a free program so that no woman may be, you know, could be financially deprived as a result of not being able to afford to go to a program. So it's, as I say, reasonably priced. It's considered a free program, but we do ask for a gold coin donation. Then, of course, there's Brecan. Do you like my little critters? I thought that we had a lovely time finding them. I'm not good at doing PowerPoint presentations, but I found those little critters and I thought, oh, they look quite good there. I'm only patting myself on the back. No. One of the things is we have trouble finding venues because we need a warm water pool. Warm water pools aren't, you know, like a hydrotherapy pool. Warm water pools aren't easily accessible, unfortunately. And if they are, they're usually booked up. Like if they're within a hospital situation, we try and stay outside the hospital situation so that it becomes, you know, like you're all sick to death of going backwards and forwards to doctors and you've had enough of it and hospitals and all that sort of stuff. So you really want somewhere that you feel more out in the world. Frankston? No, I'm doing Frankston in February. Frankston's the closest we've got. Yeah, it's very hard. We've looked around in Melbourne over a number of years trying to find a suitable warm water pool because, as I say, if they're in the hospital situation, they're used for rehab during the day. We can only get them at night, and so that's a problem. Sure. Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. Yes, because Brecan is breast and gynae. But breast cancer, start again. Encore is only for breast cancer women. Yeah? So, yes? Yep. Very good. Yes, yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Well, Pink Pilates has only been around recently. And it wasn't always available. So, because when we started with Encore, there was nothing, absolutely nothing out there. There wasn't even nobody. I mean, I've been singing the praises of Encore for exercise and Encore for 20 years, 18 years, and it's only of recent times that there's been since Pilates. There used to be Pilates a few years ago either, but the Pink Pilates, except that I know it's expensive, and that's what puts it outside the realm of some people. And what did I say? Oh, and yoga's of course very good, but you've also got to be a bit cautious of the type of yoga. Anyone has done yoga? Pre-breast cancer. So what type of yoga did you do? Iyengar, yeah. That's the Iyengar one, is that the one that's a bit, you hold the poses for quite a length of time? Yeah, that's not a good one. That's not a good one for us to be doing. Because you're actually contracting the muscle for too long.
Yeah.
You're holding, you know, because whatever position you're doing, you're holding. So what we want is movement, right? That's why I'll talk to you about strength training program as well in a tick, but yes, the Hatha yoga. Rather do the Hatha yoga. If you're going to do some yoga, the Hatha yoga, yeah, that's better than the Iyengar one, yeah? So we've covered most of the exercises programs, but it's a matter of going and finding something that's suitable. But be careful of gyms. And so what I was going to say about stretching, because when you have you all had radiotherapy, yep, all pretty much had radiotherapy on your chest wall. The radiotherapy actually hardens muscles. You know, so if it's been, you know, if you had these spots, it hardens those spots on your muscle. So that's how you lose your bit of flexibility in the muscle. So you're likely to be tight on the chest for a long time. And I'm not even 100% sure whether it stays there permanently, whether it stays hardened permanently. Well, if it's hard, of course, it's not flexible. Right? It may ease over a period of years, but by doing gentle stretch exercise, it helps to use the muscle that is still okay, right? So that you're not just holding the muscle and not using it. Right? So it's gentle movement. It also, the exercise helps to open some of the lymphatic channels in the chest wall that might have been affected by the, you know, it has some sort of beneficial effect to the actually moving through there, yeah? Because it tends to block lymph flow. Radiotherapy can block the lymph flow. Walking, I've done all that. Hydrostatic pressure, it's easier on your joints than water too, by the way, which I'd forgotten to mention. So any of the water programs are ideal. If you've got arthritis and knee issues and perhaps your aches and pains. Are you all on, most of you probably on follow-up medication? You get the aches and pains? Yes. So a hydrotherapy program is really excellent for that, really excellent. So it's worthwhile looking at all of those. So the Encore program, I've done that, 8-week program. It helps maintain and rebuild muscular fitness, improve mobility and strength, help reduce the pain and discomfort, maintain and improve cardiovascular and respiratory fitness. I've said all that. Oh, and each of our programs is always fun. We make it fun, don't we? Yes. So, the next one I want to talk to you about is weight-bearing exercise. And you go, I don't want to know about that. Look, and I had the Encore program up there. Oh, look, that's us, isn't it? I did, didn't I? Oh, she's gorgeous. I don't know how I got her. I thought she was just a still person. What a pity they aren't working. Oh, I get carried away with myself here. Okay, what about weight-bearing exercise programs? Well, progressive, properly performed resistance exercise programs gradually widen the remaining lymph channels, thereby improving the lymph flow. Contracting and relaxing muscles during exercise is what helps to move the lymph fluid through our bodies, as I said. And when you're doing weight work, it makes them work even harder because you're just doing simple bicep curls, right? With resistance, it's going to improve your muscle tone. But not only is it going to improve your muscle tone, it improves your bone density. And rather than triggering lymphedema, as it's been thought about, that someone said years ago, they used to think, oh no, you can't do weight-bearing exercise or too much exercise because it'll trigger lymphedema. It's not the case. Research has been done to say that it actually reduces your if anyone's got lymphedema, it will actually reduce your lymphedema. The right sort of appropriate exercise, and guess what? It's all done slowly. We're not doing, you know, as the guys, you see the guys pumping up their muscles so they've got these great big bulging muscles. It's got nothing to do with that. What we want to do is increase the fibre in our muscles to make them stronger. And when you do weight-bearing exercise, and use resistance, the muscle actually works and pulls, because you know you've got muscles that join to your bone with tendons and ligaments. Well, that tugging, with the muscles working and contracting and relaxing. Oh, sugar. It's all right. Yes, I know, but I'm moving from one to the other and doing exercises at the same time, you know. working the muscle is pulling on the ligaments which tug at the bone, and that's what increases your bone density. And when you've had chemotherapy, our bone density is affected. Right? You've probably heard that. Have you been told that? Your bone density can degrade, and also some of the medication that you may be on will increase the bone loss. Yeah? So we really should be doing weight-bearing exercise in order to maintain and also not lose the same amount of bone density as we would. I've said all that, haven't I? What else have I got to cover? The lymphedema won't be triggered by the use of strength training. Strength training may actually minimise the chance of developing lymphedema by helping dilate or widen remaining lymph channels in the underarm and around the shoulder. So you can move on to strength resistance programs such as the COTA, Living Longer, Living Stronger program. Have you heard about that? That's run at a lot of gyms and it's usually run in a group situation. So if you ever see COTA Living Longer, Living Stronger in community houses or in gyms, they're the ones to actually go to because their exercises are done slowly. Some of the gyms actually incorporate, and we usually use dumbbells. I only use dumbbells because I don't work in a gym, but some of the gyms actually run the COTA program using machines and using those big pieces of equipment. Yeah, and that's fine to be doing. There's actually a program in Eltham, the YMCA in Eltham. I know none of you come from Eltham, but the YMCA in Eltham. There's a woman that's actually sat in on a five-week program that I did for Brecan, you know, the Step into Fitness, and she knows what to look out for women who've had breast cancer. But she's been running a gym program there, strength program there. And so I comfortably will recommend anyone to go to that program. But I can't necessarily say that I don't know every program, so I don't know. But it's a matter of being aware of the type of exercises that you're doing at the various gyms. Yeah? Yeah, my concern with Curves, and I know Curves program, my concern with Curves is that you're doing an awful lot of stuff in a half-hour run. They, in order to cover what they set you to do, you've got to be doing them quickly. Now, it's preferable for our lymphatic system to be doing exercises slowly. I don't want to sort of knock it, as far as a fitness program for perhaps other people, yeah, that's fine. And I do know there's a particular Curves venue up sort of near me, and I know that they're very conscious of the fact that they might have breast cancer women there, and they are cautious about what they do prescribe for them to be doing. But I still, you know, because in general, there's a general umbrella of. And I know what it's like with their breast cancer, with their fitness training that they do. It's all fast and furious, and I do get a bit concerned. So just be a bit cautious about where you go. If you do go to Curves, or have you been to Curves? Have you got limitations since you? Okay. You do it, but you know, yes, you can do it if you want to do a half-hour run, if you want to do a half-hour because you haven't got time to exercise and, you know, that fits into your lifestyle and you want to do it. But you do need to get the cardiovascular aspect, so you need to do warm-up. So that's fine if you're just doing cardiovascular. But if you are going to be doing weights, then be conscious of the fact that you should be doing them fast. You shouldn't be doing them fast, you should be doing them slowly. Yeah? So you're doing them... That's the pace, right? So that's a bicep curl. So that's the pace that you do everything at, right? That sort of pace. It's not, right? Because all that's doing is pumping up the muscles. And it's also putting... It's not working your lymphatic system well. Swimming is fabulous. If you were a swimmer, get into it. I know. That's why I do these sort of chats, because I understand that you don't know what's appropriate. And there are things that are definitely not appropriate. Definitely not. I know I had a story of a woman who said her doctor said, right, you're fine now, you know, your surgery's done, off you go. Go and live your life, go and exercise, off you trot. So she went, okay, I'll go to a gym. That's where I know to go to a gym, to do exercise. And she said, they put her on a treadmill, and I know what they do because I know how they're trained. Okay, we do a warm-up for 5 or 10 minutes, chuck them on a treadmill, let them warm up for 5 or 10 minutes, turn it on, whatever it is, and then they walk away, the instructors walk away and leave them half the time. Well, this poor woman, this is what happened to her. She got on it, the treadmill was set too fast, she's too exhausted, she hasn't done any exercise, has she, for 12 months or even prior, she's not well, and so she came flying off the back end of the treadmill. You know, and you go... Anyway, I get... Japers. So, yes, you do have to be cautious. Yeah, absolutely cautious.
Yeah, I'm doing the the fall down thing.
Okay.
But I'm about 20 kilos. I've just started.
You're darn strong. That's pretty darn good, I've got to say. Very good, really.
I used to love it, and that's what. And I've now got a personal trainer who takes me through because I don't want to go back to injuring
myself. No. Well, you need to be doing it progressively slowly,
yeah,
and not try and jump up into too many, yeah, bigger weights. And if you're getting hot and sweat, too hot and sweaty, you're going too hard with it. Yeah, no, and do them slowly, absolutely slowly. If you're doing push-ups,
yeah,
that's as fast as you should do them, all right? Because you want to work with your lymphatic system. Because if you overload your lymphatic system,
yeah,
right, it's likely to trigger lymphedema. So you can do too much, right? You're better off doing less,
yeah,
than pushing too hard. You're not trying, as you say, you're not trying to be Arnold Schwarzenegger's mate, are you? So what you want to do is keep your strength. So if you're working within your limitations with a little bit of push,
yeah,
you know, say that you're exerting yourself. It's just that I know how a lot of these PTs work, and they do, go on, go on, go on, go, go, you can do another 10, off you go, you know, rah, rah, rah. You don't want rah, rah, rah. You don't want any of that stuff. You want, I'm working within my limitations. Yes, I'm strengthening my muscle because I used to do 5 push-ups, now I can do 10. Or I can do 5 and then I can do 6 and then I can do 7 and then I can do 8 repetitions and work up slowly. But don't overload it, because overloading, you know, and doing too much can actually trigger lymphedema as well. All right? So stay within...
Yeah.
You're not going to be a super athlete anywhere, are you?
No, that's interesting.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, that's good what you've been doing. Okay. Well, what am I up to? Premature bone loss. Now that's I was talking to you about the bone density. And among women who have had chemotherapy, bone loss may occur much sooner than it normally might. A UK study measured changes in bone density among 49 premenopausal women receiving chemotherapy. Results show that a woman who undergoes permanent menopause because of chemotherapy can lose 5 years' worth of bone mass in a single year. Normally, after normal menopause, you'd only use one... You only lose 1 to 2% per year. So we have a dramatic drop if we've had chemotherapy. So we need to maintain our bone density, yeah? Because especially if you're having chemotherapy and then you're having ongoing medication, it impacts on your bone density. So, regular exercise promotes a healthy lymphatic system, reducing the risk of lymphedema, strengthens the immune system, increases bone density and muscle mass, restores bone loss and rebuilds strength. Yeah! Right? Okay, and also, it burns calories, increases muscle tone, increases self-esteem, reduces anxiety levels, improves your memory. Do you know that? Because your circulatory system is taking oxygen through your brain. And while you're triggering that circulatory system to work, so you'll be able to remember how to get home after you've had a few drinks at night, which you're allowed to do. Okay, and you'll have less disturbed and better quality sleep. So, exercising makes us feel good, and if we look good, we feel good, don't we? You know, if you put your lippy on and you put on your nice outfit and you walk out the door and you catch a glimpse of yourself in the local window of the shopping centre, and you go, oh, she looks all right today. Hey, it does, because I've caught a glimpse of myself dragging myself through the shopping centre and going, God, who's that old tart, you know? And then I thought, oh, God, it's her. It's me. Jeepers. So, you know, but if you've dressed up, put your lippy on, put your nice clothes on and walk out the door, how do you feel? You catch a glimpse, or someone says to you, oh, gee, you look great today. It just lifts your spirits and you just feel so much better. I don't know, I've got another one. So, my mantra is, move it and improve it. I'm going to get you up off your seats in a minute, just to finish off. But before I do, the Breast Cancer Network Australia have actually put a booklet out about breast cancer and exercise and the importance of it. So that will remind you, we've got them here. The Cancer Council have also got nutrition and exercise, which is worthwhile looking at. That's the four C's fit, the one at Eltham that I was talking about. They call it the four C's fit chicks exercise group. And the four C's stands for coffee, chat, company and something else. Anyway, they had the four C's in there. So that's how it came about. And then there's also brochures out there about the on-call program if anyone's interested in the on-call program. And Brecan, of course, you know where we are here. Those books here, that one down there, The Breast Cancer Survivors Fitness Plan, that's a very good book. It's got a lot of detail in it and a range of exercises to do, which they're all the same things as sort of the exercise programs that I use in various exercise programs. But it also shows you the diagrams of what muscles are affected. There's illustrations of the muscles that are affected when you've had surgery. Perhaps has anyone had a reconstruction? Oh, if you've had reconstruction, have you had tram flap or saline implant? Tram flap? Deep. Sorry? Deep. Oh, the deep. Yeah, the deep. Yeah, okay. And what's yours? The implant. Okay. So when you've, again, that's another aspect of that gym instructors don't understand about what happens when you've had a reconstruction. Because if I've had a tram flap reconstruction, which means that I'm missing that, you know, that six-pack muscle? You know when you see those six-pack? Well, I'm missing that muscle there because they use that muscle to create the breast as well as some fatty tissue, so that like the diet. So I can still do sit-ups and so forth, but it is a bit weaker through there. Now, if you've got a PT instructor going, right, I want you to give me another 50 sit-ups, you know, you go, what? He doesn't understand that we're missing a muscle here. Also, they can do it by using what they call the latissimus dorsi muscle, which comes from around the back here and flex around here. So if you've got somebody who's had a latissimus dorsi reconstruction and they're doing all this sort of stuff, there's a weakness there because their muscle isn't in the right place. And then when you've had an implant, you know, there's the pectoral muscle and there's the pectoralis major and the pectoralis minor that sit on your chest wall. The pectoral, you know what the pectoral, you know, pectoral muscle is, don't you? The ones that sit behind our breast there. Well, there's a major and a minor. Now, when they do a saline implant, they pop that in between the two muscles. So, which means that because they can't just put an implant in underneath the skin, they've got to have some sort of cover there. So there has to be some sort of muscle. So invariably, it's the pectoralis major muscle that's there, which means that, you know, that muscle isn't working in the same way as it would be if it was sitting in its right position because it's been stretched out to fit around that saline, because instead of it being sitting on your chest wall, it's now popping out like that. So if you're doing chest presses and you've got something that's too strong for you, of course it's going to impact on here, and it also pulls too hard. You know, there's a lot of all those issues. But that book's got diagrams in to show you, you know, what muscles are being used and when they rearrange your body. You know, they rearrange it. And, of course, when your muscles are rearranged, somebody that's standing on the outside looking in at you have no idea that that's what's happened and could be giving you inappropriate exercise to do. Yeah? But that's cardiovascular. Yeah, the posture you should walk at is so that you can still sing. All right. If you were always a runner, a marathon runner, yeah, you can regain your strength and your ability to continue to do that. I'm not saying you just don't ever do it, but that's a cardiovascular thing. That's not strength training. Right, so that's your lung capacity and the ability of your body to, you know, and your circulatory system in order to function. And yeah, that's fine, yeah, because it's working it. But when you're putting it under doing resistance work, you need to just do it slowly. Yeah, that's the difference. Yeah. So all you need to do is half an hour half an hour 6 days a week of getting out there and walking. And incidentally, the worst thing you're doing is actually sitting. Right, because your lymph nodes are in here. If you come to a lymphatic session, a lymphedema session, you'll find that the lymph nodes that are in here, if you're sitting, the length of time that you're sitting, these lymph nodes aren't clearing. In order to clear them, you need to be doing high knee lifts. Right? That helps the lymphatic system. So knee high lifts, So even when you're walking, every now and again, have a stop and just do some knee-high lifts as well. That's just, I mean, you don't have to, but that's what. But sitting down for any length of time. So even if you're sitting down watching television, get up during the ads. I mean, if you're driving in a car and you're on long distance, well, yes, it's the same thing. Whatever you have to do they recommend for you to do for DVT, for deep vein thrombosis, like on the planes and, you know, exercise and get up and walk around, same thing applies for your lymphatic system. Exactly the same thing. So if you're going overseas, like I've been overseas 5-6 times or something since I had my breast cancer. Yes, I get swollen ankles, but I've always been inclined to have swollen ankles anyway. But I do all that getting up, walk around, you know, exercise, and spend more time walking around than I do sitting down, I think, some of the time in the plane. So that's what you do. You keep moving. Activity will keep your lymphatic system healthy. Yeah. I haven't, but I will next time. I'm going overseas next. No, I don't. No. My only sort of swelling that I have is, and it always has been my ankles. So that's why I move around. But I'm bilateral axilla clearance. But I figure it's got a lot to do with all the exercise that I do, that I haven't had, because I certainly have got problems in my ankles when I'm sitting in a plane, but I don't have anywhere else. But it's like anything in the, you know, in the summertime you'll feel fuller, yeah, because you, like when you get up in the morning, as opposed to when you go to bed in the afternoon, you're fuller. Do you feel sort of a bit fluidy? Because our bodies do, especially being women, our bodies have always changed because of the hormones, etc. So your lymphatic system is always sort of functioning. But at the end of the day, you'll feel... I mean, I know, I always do. And in the summertime, my hands are always fuller. Yeah? And especially when you're walking. A tip when you're walking, because when I come back from walking, your hands are full. All right, this is what you do. When you're walking, swap the flies. Right? You don't have to do it the whole time you're doing it. But if you put your arms up, because it's holding your arms down like that, the lymph flow isn't sort of coming up and back hard enough because you're down there. You right? That's all you're doing. So if you do this with them, wriggle the fingers and all the rest, but every, I don't know, whatever you feel like doing. You know, you don't have to walk past the whole, you know, I think of school kids are all going, what's she doing, a silly old thing, or something. But, you know, wherever you are, just wave your arms around, do that. The other thing is, when you come back and you feel that it's all full, run your fingers through there and go like that. Just slide it up your arm. Actually, you will have done enough work probably with arm movements, but try thinking about doing high arm movements when you're doing it, when you're walking every now and again. But then if you run your hands, see if you just slide your fingers on either side, because all your there's lymph vessels all in your fingers and everywhere, right? The whole body. So if you do that and then go like that and just slide it up, I guarantee they'll slim straight down. You'll feel it start to move, because instead of letting it sit there, you're moving it. So you just run your fingers, see your fingers on either side of your other set of fingers, and then just go like that. And you'll free it up. Yeah? And you won't have those fat fingers.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, that's the lymphatics. That's the lymphatics all going down to there, and they're not it's not moving too far. So that's a really good tip. But think about that, you know, and nobody minds you in Australia because we're always squatting the flies away. So, okay, any other questions for me at this stage? Yes. Dragons of breast, yeah? That's right. Yep. Well, it's only if they've had implants. Yeah, if you've had an implant, yeah. That's still okay. Because they're, you know, and the thing is, you're either one side of the boat or the other, so you do more work on one side, and they usually adjust themselves as to which is the surgical side that's possibly not as strong, and, yeah. They work all that. But you see, that's a slow movement, right? Even though they might be moving fast. But that's been proven to be fine. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, but slowly. Yeah, don't, you know, none of that. None of that fast-moving stuff. Because that does pump it up. It does pump up the lymphatics, whereas if and the, all the muscles. But if you're doing it slowly, then you, your lymphatic system is working in conjunction with it, right? Just slow it all down. So that's why I say you don't have to do hydro, you know, you don't have to do high impact aerobics. So you can leave the lycra at home. Okay, anything else that I can offer you for with any assistance, with any inquiries? No? I know I've been rattling on a bit probably, but no, yeah. Yeah, well, it could be the radiotherapy that's just hardening any muscle tissue. Yes. I mean, look, you know, one of the simplest things for getting any movement through the chest and the shoulders, because we tend to hold on to that. That's the side we've had our surgery. So I guess what we all end up with a pain in our neck, a pain in our shoulder, our back hurts, and all that. It's all because we do this. We do that Napoleon syndrome where we go, "Don't come near me because it's going to hurt." So everything, weakens and becomes very sensitive. So then when you are about to move, you go, "Oh, that hurts," because everything's just been shut down. So you have to get that movement back in really slowly. And one of the best things to do is simple shoulder rolls. Right? That's one of the first exercises that I think you probably any physios that you've had would have you doing. Did you all get those shoulder rolls? So if you actually close your eyes, you can actually feel when you do a shoulder roll, the chest moves. You can feel your chest move. You can feel your back move. You can feel your shoulder and your neck. So it's getting movement. See, feel that chest come up. Feel that pectoral muscle, that pectoral area is there. Yeah? That chest moves. The chest moves up. And so does your shoulders. That's some of the best movements that you can do post-surgery, because it's giving you a gentle movement in the chest. The same thing when you talk about that lady. Then if she... just gentle. Roll the shoulders. So you're coming forward, up, back and down. Forward, up, back and down, and do it slowly. I know I've got some. Oh, I always do shoulder roll. Oh, yeah, that's really relaxing. That is. But that's honestly is one of the best things you can do, because you can feel that chest, and it's also moving here, right? So just get her to do the shoulder rolls, which is giving her movement from there down to pretty much down to there, depending on how she can. Or even this. I know I always talk about that sexy look. You know that sexy look? You've all got to get back, you know, get it all back again. Yeah, that sexy look. I used to, so with one shoulder and then the other, and then I go into it. Yes, right, how that's. So they can get into all that. Okay, anything else? No? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Tai Chi. Well, as I said, Tai Chi is really one of the things that we always, from the Encore program, always recommended people to go to Tai Chi. And you can do the real easy one. I mean, there's much more extensive Tai Chi, and it's very complicated, and your brain after you've had chemo can't cope with it. So, you know, if you can do something, do some of the easier ones. It's just beginner's Tai Chi. It's, you know, it really is. It's a very easy movement. And I finish all my exercise programs with a Tai Chi set of movements. We could do that today. Would you like to do it's only seconds. It really doesn't take long. I'll do that with you. But the other thing I was going to get to do is to get you up off your feet. Just to give you a bit of a moving and a grooving. Okay, just a little bit of movement. Walking on the spot. Can you hear that music okay? This is good old Kylie. All right, no problems with that? Easy, can easy walk. Okay, can we kick one foot out and heel dig? Yes, straight into it. One arm and then the other. Opposite arm, opposite leg. I know, getting the left and right brain going is not easy, is it? No. Okay, can we do both together? Oh, she's not well. Sorry. Okay, we're still moving. We won't do the whole thing. Okay, so we're still walking on the... Did you all stop? Come on. Just because I did doesn't mean you're allowed to. All right, so we're heel digging. Both arms together. You like this? Yeah, this is what we do. One of the warm-ups, I think. Okay, can we put one arm out in front? Opposite arm, opposite leg. And then the other one. So all you have to do is put some music on and start moving to it, yeah? Easy, isn't it? We all like music. She's not well. Keep going. No, I think the CD's worn out. I've worn her out, this girl. All right. No, she's not well.
Let's try the next track. But do you want to put it on the desk?
Yeah. Except this one, I think, goes for hours, so we won't run it for the whole time. Oh, this goes for 5.5 minutes. You don't want to do that, do you? No, go to 6. That was hot stuff. Did you want to do hot stuff? Okay. So what are we still up to? Sorry to break all this up. So we're doing right leg, opposite arm, opposite leg. Okay, can we go overhead? Okay, both arms forward. Both arms overhead. It's a bit tight, isn't it? We feel very up close and personal here, don't we? Opposite forward, up, forward, up, forward. I know, I know. You've got to think. Okay. All right, let's walk on the spot again. Foot out to the side. Just one arm, one side. Yeah, I know we haven't got a lot of space. I should have got to move the chairs back. Okay, switch to the other side. Okay, both arms together. Not both legs together. That's alternate. Okay, arms to the front, arms to the side. It's all about having a bit of fun, isn't it? Okay, and we're walking it. Okay, and you put one to the foot to the back and swing. Okay, and the other leg. You feel as if your heartbeat's going up a bit? Hey, getting a bit out of breath? It's only a bit of cardiovascular. It's only easy. Okay, we're walking it. And out. And back in. Get those hips going. Yeah, you can all wiggle your hips. Knee high. Okay, just a bit of a warm-up. All right, make you feel a bit better. All right, would you like to do the little cool-downy thing that I do? The little bit of... Okay, the little Tai Chi thing, yeah, that we finish off with. Thank Carmen saying yes. All right, you'll need a space. Have you got enough space to put your hands out yet? Yeah, just give them a bit of a shove back. Okay, feet together, knees bent, one little step to the side. Okay, big breath in, take your shoulders up to ears, and breathing out. Okay, and we're waving in the breeze, breathing in and out. And in and out. We're beside some water where there's a little rabbit digging, breathing in and out. And in and out. In the water there's a tortoise swimming, breathing in and out. And in and out. We gather the water and sprinkle it out. And again, gathering the water and sprinkling it out. And on the water, the lotus are blooming. Breathing in, turn palms out, breathing out, coming down. And again, breathing in and out. We watch as the white cranes stretch their wings, breathing in and out. Breathing in and out. The wind is pushing through the trees. The left hand up, right hand down, breathing in. Changing, right hand up, left hand down, breathing out. Breathing in and out. And all the while the little rabbit's still digging, breathing in and out. And in and out. And we're back to waving in the breeze, breathing in and out. And in and out. And I thank you. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed all that and you got some information from it. Yes? And can help you. And go in good health and find that new captivating, eye-catching body that's waiting for you out there.
Judy, I just
want to
thank you on behalf of Green Care for your time.
Okay,
thank you so much.
That's all right. That's okay.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can subscribe to Breecan's podcasts or browse existing ones at our website, www.breecan.org.au.